And did you at any stage think about going back again, or was that the end of it? That was the end of your working life then, was it?
Yeah, well, I did work later on after. I worked down in, remember, a little chef restaurant on the Naas Road. I worked on that. I worked there for 2 years, only from 10 till 3 in the morning. And then when the girls started school, I had to leave, you know what I mean? Because my aunt used to mind what she was getting on, and I didn't think it was fair on her. And then I did home health for a good few years. I was with Tommy's dad. It was a 4 or 5 year, from the time Kevin got married, whatever that was, you know. That was a happy time too now, you know. And I'm not saying it because Tommy is there. I have his photograph and all upstairs. And I still, when I go to Tesco, I always go and visit his grave. We got on famous, me and him, you know what I mean. And he used to say I was a great cook, and God, sure, all I'd be doing is mashing a bit of potatoes and a few sausages. And then I used to make him a mug of tea, and I'd have a mug, and I'd give him 3 biscuits, and I'd say, "That's all I'm giving you now because you'll get too fat." You know, it was a joke with the two of us, you know. Yeah, I never went back to home help after
Did
that.
you not?
No. Then Fiona, my daughter,
Yeah.
she got married, and then the grandson came along, so I was minding him because she went back to work full time.
And did Michael continue then working away in
He worked in the mill, and then it was about a year before it closed down, and a friend of mine, I just knew him casually, Mick Carlin, he knew of a job going down in one of them places in Robin Hood, is it? Them factories,
The industrial estate.
Yeah, what do you use this?
John F. Kennedy.
Cash.
Oh yeah, cash and carry.
Cash and carry, that. And he was working there for a few years, and then he went driving, and that's what he's doing now.
And in fact, the mills then, when it closed down, Michael was out of it at that stage.
Yeah, he was out of it. He was out of it. Yeah. Yeah, I was a pity. I know it's grand to have the shopping centre, but it was the way it was a pity that it did close down, you know. So you were there a long time, Tommy.
26 years, yeah.
26, you were, were you? You were a paymaster, weren't you? Yeah.
And
yeah, I remember
you
that.
You used to go in and collect your money had to come from this man, did it?
Yeah, I used to say, "I hope he gives me extra," but he didn't. I know, but Tommy was the paymaster, and I there anyway.
Yes, and Tommy, can I ask you? You were confronted every Friday, was it?
Every Friday we had a weekly payroll. Yeah.
And would people just queue up to get paid?
They would, yeah. They went to the payroll was brought over to the canteen, and the men would come up and collect it.
How many?
3:30. Well, it was. I don't know whether we went down to Saul with your wages and delivered them.
I think so, Tommy. Yeah, I think that was brought to us, I think.
What happened was there was a robbery there. I don't know what year it was. Fellas came in when the money was brought across the road from the office to the canteen at 3:30. And they stuck up. I wasn't there that day. The paymaster was Mr. Johnson. And they grabbed the payroll. They were never caught, Morris. Mm. It was an IRA alleged robbery in the 70s.
Because everything was cash in those days.
It was all cash.
Yeah, it was all cash.
We went over to checks fairly fast after that.
Yeah.
Checks became the norm after that. They signed up for checks and they were allowed to go up to the bank.
Yeah,
to change the cheque. That was part of the deal, you know, to sign. Because you couldn't force cheques on anybody. It was optional.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And what were you being paid, Patsy?
Do you know, I can't remember, really. Would it be £4 or £5? Something like that, Tommy, would it? Or am I wrong?
Well, I couldn't tell you the wages at the moment, at that period in the 70s.
I can't either now.
Suppose they were £20 for a man, and probably the women's wages were 12 or something. I don't know.
Something
I'm only guessing.
I think it was, because I remember it used to be great when you'd be working overtime. Say you'd get about £14, which was a lot of, it was a good lot of money then, like, you know what I mean? You know, I remember that. Yeah, I was around that. I don't know what the currency was then now, to be honest, you know. But
they were big, big notes.
£10 and £10 shillings was a paper money as well.
So it must have been, when you had all that in your hand, you know, you must have felt
oh God, yeah, you did. You very did rich. Indeed, yeah, very rich, very rich.
And did you have to hand that up then? You weren't living at home at that stage, were you?
Oh, well, I was in the mail, I was, yeah. Oh yeah, you handed up money, like, I can't remember now. Much, oh, you had to hand up your money, like, you know. Oh, you had to do that in them days, anyway.
And what were you left with then?
Oh, God, yeah, I couldn't remember that.
And not for the dance?
Oh, yeah, plenty for the dance.
In the picture house, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, ah, yeah. Ah, yeah, you hand it up, but what you handed up now, it probably wasn't that much, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
There were different times, really.
Different times, yeah, yeah.
When you were there too, did you your uniform? You or did you wear?
Yeah, you wore a smock. You know what I mean? Yeah, you. I don't know. Was it blue? You wore a smock. You know, to save your clothes, sort of. You know, it wasn't no big long thing. It's like down to your knees or something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. You wore that, and then the mini skirts came in, and we were all delighted with that. Yeah, and then you say, oh, better not wear that to work, it's too short. Ah, it was good, all right, it was good.
Yeah, because the style, the fashion at the time.
Yeah. You know, when you look back sometimes, you know, you'd be in someone's house and they'd show you photographs. I think sometimes you looked older then than what you did in later years. I think it was the clothes, you know, and the big hairdos, you know, the back combing and all that, you know what I mean?
Because when you do look at these old photographs, you see the extraordinary, you know, when you say the mini skirts, I mean, that was accepted, you know?
Yeah.
Was there a dress code in the factory? Were you told, like, if your dress is too short, that you can't come in?
I don't remember that now.
No, I
don't think so.
Nothing like that.
No, you just wore the smock. I had buttons, as far as I remember. There wasn't zips, I think, even then. And your buttons, you know what I mean? To save your own clothes, you know.
And had you a little bib or hat?
Oh, no, you didn't wear anything on your head, no. Yeah. No, it wasn't. I don't think it was that dusty, no, really. Maybe down at the machinery or something, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
Being ever covered in dust or anything now, to be honest.
And the knives in the factory, there wasn't any pipe music going through or anything, was there?
No. I don't think so. No, I don't think so. No.
But the factory, the constant noise of the machines going.
Well,
they're away from them.
Yeah, and like there was only that one. There was a big machine up in the saal. Christy Smith worked on it, and another chap named Tony Flynn. He lives over there in Moorfield. They worked on that. You know, that was a bit noisy, I think, but nothing. You know, that maybe when you're younger, you see noise doesn't bother you. You know what I mean? It really doesn't. You know. But when you get older, it does.
And you know all the restrictions nowadays with smoking?
Yeah.
In those days, there was no...
Oh, no.
Did you have a place where you actually used to go and smoke?
Yeah, there was two restrooms. And I remember one you could go into and smoke, because I was a smoker then. Now, I'm off them over 10 years, but... I was a smoker then, so I was often in there having a smoke.
But the danger with all the paper.
But this would be in like a bathroom or wherever, you know, like it wouldn't be any, you know, near paper or anything, you know.
Yeah.
Or you could go outside. I mean, the men used to, I think, go out, the men that drove the lorries now, be outside smoking, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
When you had your break, there was a canteen, was there, inside?
No.
Or did you go out? into Clondalkin village for your break?
No, well, I used to go home, you see. We used to get an hour for our lunch. Now we got an hour. And I used to go home, myself and Monica did, because, you know, we'd fly up the road. It was hardly worth our while, but we used to go home.
On bikes?
No, walking. Walking. Yes. And then, what do you call it? Then when you're having your small break in the morning, you know, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You'd have it there, like you'd have it in work. You could sit up on the bench and have your cup of tea, you know, that way.
So when the time came when you had all the counting done, the paper, and it was ready to go out the door, how did it go out the door?
And there was pallets, wooden pallets, and it would be stacked up on the wooden pallets, and then a forklift, that'd take it out, and then it'd go on the back of a truck or a lorry. You know what I mean? That's what I remember, anyway.
What about wrapping? You didn't wrap them?
No. There was workers, men it was, wasn't on tables away from us. They wrapped it. And then it went on, a pallet. Mm. And I was taken out onto the truck then. Yeah, that's right, the men.
Yeah.
Remember what I got, Ray's brother, John Muldowney, Lord, and I said, he worked on that. And who else? Paddy, Gerald, Simons. He was from Ballyfair. I remember that man. And who else? Another man from Bluebell. What was his name? I can picture a very tall man. I can't think of a name. Yeah, that's right. They wrapped it and it went onto pallets and it was taken out with a forklift out to the...
And can you recall, were you there before the forklift was there?
As far as I remember, anyway. And there used to be, what do you call them things? You know, people put them under the car to lift them up. What do you call them?
Yeah, like a
hoist. Yeah. No, and they used to, one of them, like up and down in the lift. And you know who used to be in charge of it in latter years? Remember Peter Bourne lived across the road,
yes.
Old Peter.
Yeah.
He used to do that up to the time he retired or something, you know. He'd bring down, I think, small boxes or things up and down in the lift,
you know. Yeah.
Well, it was fantastic. And when you, I suppose you were still in touch with some of the people that you worked with, are you? Do you meet any of them now?
No, well, I mean, I meet talking to Deirdre. Her sister Phyllis lives just a few doors down from me. Now, she worked in the bag factory, she didn't work in the mill. And sometimes I go down to Phyllis two nights a week because she's on her own. The girls and her son, like, have their own place. And Deirdre often call in. Or sometimes I meet Deirdre and Matt in the mill. Sometimes they come down there and shop, you know. And I haven't seen Monica in a long time now. Mostly it's funerals. We meet, if you know what I mean. It's more funerals than anything else. And as I said, the two girls that walked in the mill around here, they're dead now, you know what I mean. So, sometimes you might meet someone. It could be in the mill, it could be over in Liffey Valley, and you'll see them and they'll say hello to you and you say hello back. And it's afterwards you think, I think they worked in the mill, you know what I mean. But I'm a hopeless with names. Faces I can remember, but I'm hopeless with names.
Yeah.
But
you certainly remembered a lot today. And Patsy, thank you for telling me.
Oh, you're welcome. Great.
Better known as Patsy Moore, isn't it?
Yeah, Patsy. But,
Patsy.
Sorry, I don't mind what you call me. No, I didn't think here I'm going to waste this man's time. I can't think. But when you start talking, you know what I mean, things do come back to you, you know.
It does. Yeah.